certain things that God wanted us to be very aware of. And in the process of sharing about that, the Lord gave a time out, says, okay, that's enough for now. And my understanding then was, we'll pick up from wherever it is that we stopped. And so it is that we will be picking up from where we stopped this morning to begin to explore deeper some things about what God wants to do for us. Now, let's understand that scriptures, the historical statements made, or prophetic statements made in scriptures, were the particular stories of particular people at particular times. But those principles or those experiences were stated so that we can plug into it and recognize certain principles founded in those particular experiences that God wants us to plug into in faith, and therefore they were examples to us. Amen? So the story of Gideon is the story of Gideon. The life of Gideon is the life of Gideon. What Gideon did is what Gideon did. It doesn't necessarily have to mean that that's what I do. But God intended for it to be a point of reference to propel me into a destiny that He has for me. Amen? And so we want the God that moved on the life of Gideon to do the same thing in our lives. The reality is that our Midianites and the Amalekites of our lives may not be the same Midianites or Amalekites in Gideon's life, but the spirit of Midian, the spirit of the Amalekites, still operates and therefore must be confronted by the same authority and the same power in the mighty name of Jesus. That the actions that they took lines up with the actions that we should take. And then sometimes there are actions that particular people took that worked for them that God says, well, this will work, but there is a better way. You know, I always look at 2 Chronicles 20 and look at Jehoshaphat and how he confronted the enemy and the steps that he took, and were wonderful steps until God said to me, he says, this is wonderful, but there is better. I said, what is better? What is better is, don't look at the problem, look at the end of it. Hallelujah. See yourself on the other side. I don't need rehearsal of, oh, this and that and this and that. That's your business. If you know and you have the mind of Christ, you already know that I know that. Go to the next level. I say, this is a shortcut. I don't need to do this to get here. I can just do this and I'll be there at the same, with the same results. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, in the case of Gideon, he goes through processes. The earth is just marred. The Amorites, which are seers, are declaring what they want to declare, saying whatever it is they want to say. The land is destroyed. The people are impoverished. And here, the people are crying out to God, and God sends a prophet. And the prophet says to them, I am God. I got you out of Egypt. I brought you out of the house of bondage. Certainly, I didn't bring you here to keep you in bondage, but I told you not to fear or worship the gods of the Amorites. That's your problem. You're worshiping the gods of the Amorites. You're leading your life based on what the world says, Not what I said. Not what I've declared. You are listening to the wrong voice. And that's how you've come to this bondage. And the reality is that we must live by the bread of the word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth out of the mouth of God. You see, things that work out for the world will not work out for you. Let me say that again. The way the world does their thing doesn't mean, even though they're successful at it, doesn't mean success for you. Because you are not from the same tribe. You don't eat the same food. Hello? If you live your life based on how the world lives its life, you will come to a place of leanness. You are going to fail at some point. And the reality faces us all around the world. Churches built on the principles of the world. And they are there, they are shining bright, and one day you look for them and they're gone. The whole thing is bankrupt. Because it was built not on the solid rock of the Word of God, it was built on the systems of the world. We cannot run the kingdom of God like GM or Chrysler. God's kingdom is God's kingdom. Its principles are its principles. They are not the same. God's kingdom is not Wall Street. Hallelujah. But the world wants us to think the way of the world, do things the way of the world. And so we have to be politically correct if we are going to be effective. No. I don't see Jesus compromising himself because he wants to win the world. He saw a rich man. The rich man comes and says, "What should I do to be saved?" He tells him. The rich man walks away. And Jesus did not run after him and say, "Oh, rich man, I changed my mind. Let me tell you." Let him go. Because I'm not built on you. On Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other grounds are sinking sand. All other grounds are sinking sand. That's the truth. And as God's people, we need to begin to reflect on the reality of the Word of God, what God's Word says. If you don't build your life based on how God has declared it, you'll make wrong decisions. And next thing, you start crying, "God, where are you? Oh God, where are you?" And God told you already, don't worship the gods of the Amorites, the sayers, those who are postulating ideas. That's not you. I am not the God who reigns by psychology. No, psychology works until it meets the demon. And then they start popping pills. And then the end is death. God's calling over my life is not opioids. Hallelujah. If you want the medication and all of that, feel free. It's good. It works. But the reality is, God's desire for you and I is to have faith in God. Amen? And so it was that they did not have faith in God and therefore were subjected to the effects and the power of the enemy. And so the word of God says, the angel of the Lord appeared and began to minister to him, and in the threshing, while he was threshing wheat in the wine press. And we talked about all of that. And after the angel left him, which happened after he went and brought presents. And he put it on the rock, and the angel touched it with the tip of his staff, and the Bible says fire came out of the rock. The theme and what God wants to drive into our lives is this, that there is more to it, more to you than you think. God is always taking things out of unlikely places. Getting, not fish, while he did that, he got something strange out of water, birds. When he created birds, birds have flesh, don't they? And if everything that has flesh comes out of sand, earth, birds should come out of sand too. But God says, no, birds are locked inside that water. Come out. And I declare this day in the name of Jesus that the unlikely things that God has invested inside of you will come forth, and that you will take flight in the mighty name of Jesus. There is supernatural flight inside of you. Hallelujah. 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 God will do the extraordinary through his people. And so he spoke to Gideon, who is busy, scared. He says to him, thou mighty man of valor. Because that's what God saw inside of him. He saw a mighty man. Gideon saw himself as impoverished and weak. But God saw mighty. I say in the name of Jesus, let what God sees come to pass in your life and in my life. God was saying to this man, I have a dream that is a true reality for you. It is not a wish. It's not even a desire. It is a reality. You don't know it, but I know it. Jeremiah, I have called you to be a prophet to the nations. You're going to take on nations. And anybody who tries to resist you, you're going to break them down. You're going to pull down things. You're going to tear down things. You're going to just wreck things that need to be wrecked. And then you're going to build and you're going to plant, Jeremiah. And Jeremiah saying, I'm just a little kid. And God says, don't you say that. I'm saying to you today that God is declaring something about your life that you don't see in the natural, but that which God said is what you will be. And it doesn't matter what the enemy is trying to say. You are not called to listen to the voice of the enemy. You are called to listen to the voice of the Most High God. Your hearing has not been shut off. It was not shut up for Adam and Eve. They could still hear God. God has never shut your ears off. But what God wants you to hear is his voice. Because your attention is unto him and not to the world system. Your attention is not to the offerings of the serpent, the offerings of Satan. Your attention is on what God said. God said, don't touch that, and that's, or don't eat that, and that's exactly what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to eat that. But I'm not going to add to what God said. You see, because the problem with Eve and Adam is that they added. And so many people think that they are more spiritual by adding more things of can't do this. Oh, you think because you don't put mascara on, you are now more holy? No. It is not the stuff. It's a heart turned towards God. Hallelujah. So he brings a present to God, and fire came out of the rock. Isn't that exciting? But then the man who just saw all of that, hears God speak to him after the angel left him. And the Lord said unto him, because he's scared that he's going to die. And verse 23, the Bible says, the Lord said unto him, peace, be unto thee, fear not. Peace be unto thee, fear not. Thou shalt not die. Hallelujah. He says, then Gideon built an altar there unto the Lord and called it Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah my peace. Jehovah my prosperity. Jehovah the God who causes me to lack nothing. Nothing is broken. Nothing is missing. Nothing lacking. Hallelujah. Jehovah Shalom. And says, unto this day it is yet in Ophrah of the Abizrites. Praise the Lord. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father had, and cut down the grove that is by it. Cut down the grove that is by it. Take your father's second bullock. Why didn't he say the first? Why did he choose the second one that's 7 years old? Because for 7 years, the people had been in bondage. Are you ready? They had been in bondage for 7 years. And God picked out 7 years bullock. He didn't want the first one. That doesn't match. I want the second one. And I want you to cut down the groves and the altars that your father has built. It would seem that his father was in charge of this altar for Baal. So we know that this man is called out of darkness. Are you understanding? He's called out of a family that is busy worshiping idols. He says, and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. You know what that means? This is like David going after Goliath. He had no sword. Gets Goliath down and takes Goliath's sword and cuts off his head. He says, tear down that grove and use the wood of that grove to be the bonfire. Hallelujah. 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 In the name of Jesus. You know, God doesn't want you to be attached to the world. But I tell you what, God will bring down the world system and you will use the world system's money to continue to worship God. Amen. I declare in Jesus' name that monies will come out of dark places into the hands of believers for the purpose of the kingdom of God. It's all God's. The devil did not make wood. God did. The devil did not make bullocks. God did. Everything that God did will serve God. Hallelujah. And it is your right to take possession of that which, notice, it wasn't his. It belonged to his father. He had given what belonged to him. Are you here? He had already given what belonged to him. And now God says, now go take what did not belong to you. Oh. Come on. Come on. He says, take what didn't belong to you. Bring it here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we give unto the Lord the present that belongs to the Lord, God will cause that which does not belong to us to come into our hands. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. There's transformation available for every believer, transformation that will cause every life to be changed to the glory of the Father in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So he did. He built an altar unto the Lord and says, "And build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock." What is happening? The first time we read about this rock, the rock was releasing fire. Now God says, remember that rock? Yeah. I am going to call this altar that you're going to build here the same as that rock. Build this altar. And so he did. He says, in the ordered place, in the ordered place, there is a place where God wants you to bring that offering. And take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. And Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. 10 men of what? His servant. I thought you were poor. You're poor. Your family's poor. It's relative. The Bible says Jesus became poor that we might become rich. And you ask the question, poverty? You have a ship. You can do whatever it is you want to do. You can turn water into wine. You have clothes that people are willing to kill themselves for. They are busy fighting for your clothes. You poor? You have taxes to pay and you just say, go open the mouth of that fish. Get the money from the mouth of the fish. You see, because are you listening? God takes treasure out of unlikely places. Money out of the mouth of a fish. Now, if God did it then, what do you think God will do now? I am not about to count myself out. I can believe God to do something extraordinary with my life. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he takes 10 men, 10 of his guys, and did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. Who is this Gideon? Who is this Gideon? Why, God, are you using Gideon? This man is scared. He's saying all the wrong things. And the point is, God is not depending on Gideon. God is depending on himself, working through Gideon. Here are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, every one of them scared. And meanwhile, Jesus is saying, go into all the world and preach the gospel. What is he depending on? On these guys that are so scared and afraid, hiding? He's depending on himself. And I'm saying to you and to myself today, God is not depending on my ability. He's depending on his ability working in me and through me to accomplish everything he has desired. This is about God. This is not about me. It's about him and his awesome power. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. The man is afraid. He says, and Gideon took 10 men and did this thing. He says, and when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, and the grove was cast down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. And they said one to another, who had done this? Who did this? And when they inquired and asked, they said, Gideon, the son of Joash, had done this thing. Gideon. So the men of the city said unto Joash, bring out thy son that he may die, because he had cast down the altar of Baal, and because he had cut down the grove that was by it. And Joash said unto all that stood against him, will you plead for Baal? Really? So you want to fight for Baal now? Will you save him? If he couldn't save himself, are you going to save him? He that will plead for him, let him be put to death while it's yet morning. So he turns the table over. He should be upset with his son, but he's standing with his son. Hallelujah. He is what? Standing with his son. Just like the word of God says, God will take my part. God will stand with you. Amen? No matter what the situation, he's going to take a stand with you and say, I'm on this side. Praise the Lord. So his father stood with him. He says, if he be a God, let him plead for himself, because one had cast down his altar. Therefore, on that day, he called him Jerubbaal. His father called him Jerubbaal. Let Baal plead against him, because he had thrown down his altar. Then all the Midianites and the Amalekites. And the children of the east were gathered together and went over and pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Wow. They've not moved all this time. They've been staying where they are. And something happens over here. Gideon does something, and all of a sudden they start moving. Why are they moving? They are moving because this is a spiritual thing. This is a spiritual thing. I remember when God called me into the ministry and my father offered me on the altar to be a minister of the gospel in a Thanksgiving service just like this. My uncle, that was hundreds of miles away, this was pre-cell phones, we didn't even have landlines. The road from Warri to Lagos was bad. Early the next morning, my uncle was in Warri. He had gone all the way from where he was to where we were, pointing his finger at my father and saying, how dare you, this is the junior brother pointing his finger, how dare you give this son to God? What is wrong with you? And I am coming down and saying, look at you, foolish boy. Don't. I had to cough. Then I had to think about it afterwards. Who told him? How did he know? Because at that time, he was a devil worshiper, so to speak. He was worshiping other gods, this uncle. And the news flash, news alert, had gone all the way in the spiritual realm. There is trouble. Yeah. There is trouble in the land. Fire, fire on the mountain. Run, 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 run. Oh my. Man, did he come piping hot. So it's the same thing. In the realm of the spirit, there was communication taking place. And the armies began to move because the stronghold of Baal had been torn down. And there they were coming. They were coming. They were coming. And where they're coming, he says, I'm pitched in the valley of Jezreel. Oh, Jezreel. What on earth is this? Jezreel means God will sow or God sows. So they came. Remember, wherever the people of God sowed, they came there to destroy the harvest. So now they came to Jezreel. Say, God's going to do what? Where? Not here. So they came to Jezreel. They want to stop whatever God wanted to do. But I want you to know today that God, the God we serve, is an awesome God. He is unstoppable. I don't care what enemy comes to camp in the territory that God has assigned to you, you will overcome in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Psalm 97 and verse 11. Psalm 95 and verse 11. Psalm 95 and verse 11 says, I think I got my wrong. 97 and verse 11. Maybe it's 95 then. I'm not sure which one it is. Anyhow, the word says that God sows light. 97:11. I was right. It says, light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. God sows light for the righteous and sows gladness. Light and gladness. That's why I will never be depressed. Hallelujah. I will never be depressed. Child of God, I will never be depressed. Why? God has sown gladness for the upright. Hallelujah. I will never walk in darkness because God has sown light. Amen. For the righteous. Blessed be the name of the living God. Blessed be the name of the living God. In Psalm 36 and verse 9, 36 and verse 9, hear what the word of God says. In Psalm 36 and verse 9, it says, for with thee is a fountain of life. In thy light shall we see light. Amen. In thy light shall we see light. Because there are degrees, there are dimensions, levels. Glory be to God. There are dimensions and levels in God. When you step into one, it opens up another portal. And when you step into that, through that portal, it opens up another portal. When you step into that, it opens another. When you step into that, it opens another. There is forever and forever portals that are going to be opened, 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 opened. Why am I going to sit down here and build a tabernacle here when there's so much more? You know, there are people that live in Winnipeg that have not seen the outskirts of Winnipeg, and they are 70 years old, 80 years old, 90 years old. They've never seen even the perimeter. They lived in Winnipeg. There are some people that have not gone past, you know, 20 blocks from where they live. No kidding, it's true. You know, because they just think this is their world. And they are locked up into that little world. But meanwhile, God has things he wants to expose us to. When you are enlightened, you get enlightened even more. Hallelujah. So God sows for us. He brings into our lives his enlightenment. And here comes the people of darkness, and they come to Jezreel. Place of God sows or has sown, and they pack themselves there. It says, but thank God for the next verse, but the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. And what does he do? He blew a trumpet. He blew the shofar. And people began to gather. Who's blowing it? Who's blowing that? Who's blowing that? You remember, they are hiding in dens and in caves. Hey, you're exposing us. But it's a setup. They began to move. The people from Abiezer began to come. Hallelujah. Are you getting this? I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah. They began to come. Abiezer. The people of Abiezer started to come. What's Abiezer? The father of help. Amen? The people of the father of help. Glory be to God. We blast the trumpet of the living God, and we command in the name of Jesus Christ that they help us begin to move. They move now. They come to the sound of this trumpet. Oh, hallelujah. For victory is ours in Jesus' name. Help, come. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew the trumpet. And Abiezer was gathered after him. And Abiezer was gathered after him. And Abiezer was gathered after him. Abiezer was gathered after him. Abiezer was gathered after him. God's people gathered. We call for the gathering of the people of the Lord in the mighty name of Jesus. Something was beginning to shift. They come in. He says, and he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, that's the tribe he came from, who also gathered after him. And he sent messengers on to Asher and to Zebulun and to Naphtali, and they came up to meet him. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. If the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon the earth beside, then shall I know that thou shalt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And God did that. And he says, second time, please, sir. Don't be angry with me. One more time. Pray. But this one fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece. First one, fleece and dry around it. He squeezed out a bowl of water out of it. He says, this time, fleece be dry, everything else be wet with you. And it was so. Reminds me, you know, we say, God, I want you to use my life. I remember many years ago, Papa had had a crusade in Sacramento. And I was in a little town called Lincoln, California. The first day I got to Lincoln, I was staying with a family, the Haynes family. They were billeting me. God spoke to me. He said, I want you to have a crusade here in Lincoln. Never been there, didn't know the town, never seen any part of it, other than they took me that night from the crusade ground in Sacramento and drove me to their home. So I woke up in the morning. I said to my host, I said, God is asking me to have a crusade here. He said, really? He said, we need one. I said, okay, could you show me some of the churches? Let me go talk to the church. Well, we only have Lutheran church and Catholic church. You don't have any Pentecostal church? No, nothing like that. So I went to the Catholic. I said, God spoke to me to have a crusade, mass crusade here in this town. Would you assist me? And the Catholic said, yes. I said, what? Then the Lutheran said, yes. Methodist said, yes. Oh my. The Baptist said, yes. I took off. I went and I caught the next flight out. I took the next flight off. This is not happening. I took off and I went to San Jose. Got to San Jose and I went under the bed. I crawled under the bed. No kidding. I crawled under the bed. I'm hiding. I am hiding. I am scared witless. Oh my God. These people want me to have a crusade? No, God said have a crusade. Now the people said yes, and I'm scared. And I'm hiding underneath the bed. And the Lord says to me, what are you doing there, Mike? I'm not about to answer. He said, get off, get on the next plane and get back to Sacramento and to Lincoln. Now, move. I wasted my money to fly. He didn't stop me when I was at the airport. He waited for me to do my foolishness. Now I went all the way back. And now the press is there. Press is taking pictures and putting me on their tabloids, and this thing is going out of hand. And sure enough, people showed up. And I preached the word of God. That was my first mass crusade in North America. You hearing me? So this is Gideon. People have come. And now he's scared. He said, hey, if I really heard from you, please do this. And now, really, if I really heard from you, do it this other way, reverse it. Why is God using Gideon? This guy is scared of his shadow. And God is saying, I've heard the cries of my people. They want a change. I'm going to bring this change. And you are the one I've elected to do it. God has elected to choose you. Some say, I am chosen as a vessel by God to be used to accomplish his divine purpose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, God is patient and he is kind. And says in chapter 7, then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him, rose up early and pitched beside the well of Arad, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. They were by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand had saved me. You have too many people, Gideon. Now therefore go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid. Fearful and afraid. No other words? Fearful and afraid. Is there a difference? Fearful and afraid. In the eyes of God, there's a difference. Being fearful is a mindset. A fearful person is afraid of everything. They fear everything. They don't want to move. But they showed up. Whosoever is fearful, afraid, has to do with particular situations. Fearful is so broad. Are you with me? It's a mindset. Let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. So they are in Mount Gilead. The other people are in the valley of Moreh. That's a shift. He says, and there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000 people. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Excuse me, sir. The enemy are a great multitude, countless. They and their animals, uncountable. They fill the land like grasshoppers. As far as the eyes can see, they are all over the place. I had 32,000. You said that was too much. And that if we win with our 32,000, that you're going to be, we're going to be proud. Okay. Even though we didn't have enough, I can see that. Now I have 10,000. And you're saying too much? He says, yeah, too much. What should we do? He said, take them by the pool, by the stream there. Those that lap water like dogs. Put them aside. And the others that put themselves on their knees, put aside. So he takes them to the river, to the stream. And here are these guys. Go there. You go there. And then these other guys on one knee or on both knees. Says, go over there. And there's 300 that lapped like dogs. 300. Now, this is the definition of underdogs. Oh my God. You're talking about underdogs. These are underdogs. They're lapping water like dogs. They are definitely the underdogs because there's only 300 of them against a multitude. What did God say? This is the year of the underdog. Hallelujah. What did God say? He said, this is the year of the manifested glory of God. God's manifested glory. God is about to manifest his glory. with the underdogs. Yes. So that was the story. But God is not finished with this man yet. He's not finished with him. He still needs to flush out fear out of him. Just like God is going to flush out every contaminant in my life and in your life. Anything that's going to stop him from fulfilling his purpose, he's going to flush it out. Flush out, flush out, flush out, flush out in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. 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 So he's left with 300 men. And now God speaks. And God says to him, God says, verse 9, it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, if you are afraid to go down, go thou with Phurah, thy servant, down to the host. Says, go down there. But if you are afraid to go, take Phurah with you. Who is Phurah? What does Phurah mean? Phurah means a branch, a limb. Hallelujah. That's what it means. It means a foliage, a bow. Says, take Phurah, thy servant, with you. What is God trying to say? Phurah means foliage. It means a branch that's full of leaves. And God is trying to bring into the mind of this young man. Listen. Growth, new life, change, capacity to be fruitful. Says, if you're afraid, take Phurah with you. So he goes down, and lo and behold, what is the enemy doing? The enemy is stalking their damnation. We will stop there tonight. Because this next stage, the enemy is going to be speaking his own death. Amen. Hallelujah. The confession and the sayings will change for your good. Hallelujah. This is a time, you see, we're not called to listen. The Bible says, the voice of the stranger, they will not follow. But you are about to hear some stuff to encourage you. Because this time, it is not the boastings of the enemy. I'm going to come get you. I'm going to stop you. It's them declaring their fear of you. Hallelujah. They are going to declare the fear of you. Hallelujah. And we are going to say amen to all of their confessions. Hallelujah. The confession is about to change. I say the confession is about to change. I say the confession is about to change. This is a Feast of Tabernacles. And guess what? This is the time that they cut foliage. This is the time they cut foliage to build a house, to remind them God is with me.
Amen.
Do you get it? When I stand here and I'm talking to you, I'm not talking from my smartness and my knowing. I believe in open your mouth and I will fill it. I'm not that smart to tell you that God said it was the year of the underdog. And then the year of God's manifested glory, and then pull it all together, because I've been planning to preach to you about Gideon for 2 years. Do you understand? I'm talking to you about God's news alert, timing, the season. Tap into it. And you and I are about to experience a wonderful ride. Hallelujah. Not afraid. Anointed to be victorious. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Those of you listening online, I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to release you. And then I'm going to spend time with those that are here. But I want you to know that I shall stretch my hand towards you right now and declare that the glory of God be manifested in your life, that so it is now done. In the mighty name of Jesus, a fresh anointing, fresh oil is coming upon your life for something extraordinary. In the mighty name of Jesus, this is a day of transformation. This is a day of God's release. And God is declaring over you this day that you are part of the kingdom of God, God's end time army that will be used by God to experience extraordinary things. God will use your life. Therefore, I say to you now, in the mighty name of Jesus, let go of every spirit of fear. If you are afraid, I call you now to the place where you know the love of God that casts out all fear. Be part of God's army, God's winning, victorious army. In Jesus' name, I bless you. Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Amen. Good night. Love you.